The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I go live now to Gaza and to Nick Maynard, who's a surgeon and currently working in Nasser Hospital in southern Gaza, the last functioning hospital in that part of the world. Nick, first of all, could you give myself and our listeners a sense of what your daily experience is like there?
Yes, I'm currently in Nasser Hospital in Yunis in Gaza. I've been here for nearly a month now, and it's been every day relentless. Mass casualties, bombings from aerial bombardment, but also multiple shootings, particularly at the food distribution points, the so-called Gaza Humanitarian Foundation food points. And that's a very big difference compared to my previous visits here, when it was mainly just explosive injuries and bombs. We're seeing some awful, terrible, terrible injuries from the shootings at these food distribution points. And they're mainly in young teenage males, some as young as 11 or 12. Appalling injuries we're seeing. So it's been relentless mass traumas coming in.
And what explains that pattern? Well, there's a few elements to that pattern. The demographic of those being killed, is that because that's maybe the oldest male left in the household, as it were, who's being sent, is maybe a 12 or 13-year-old boy?
I think it's they're also malnourished, these people, that it's the young male teenagers. They're sent off to get food for their starving families. They're the only ones with strength to go down there. But it's the way these food distribution points have been set up is quite barbaric.
And the types of injuries then that they suffer at these distribution points. I mean, is it, and you get a sense of this, I guess, over the course of kind of maybe treating several patients in a day or over days. Is it kind of scattergun approach? Is it just blind firing into the crowd and people are getting hit in different places, or what's happening?
No, I mean, there is an element of that, but there's a bit of a sort of a indiscriminate shooting at tents surrounding the distribution points. I've seen quite a few women who've been shot indiscriminately by quadcopters whilst they've been in their tents. But the shootings of the young males at the food distribution points follows a very clear pattern. It's a pattern that we've all recognised out here. The ER doctors have noticed it since the distribution point started, and I've certainly seen it, that there are clusters of body parts being all shot out at the same day. So one day they're all coming in with gunshot wounds to the head, the next day gunshot wounds to the neck, then the next day I might see a lot of gunshot wounds to the abdomen. A week ago there was four young male teenagers all brought in with gunshot wounds to the testicles. So they are very clear, there's a very clear pattern we are all recognizing of specific body parts being targeted on a specific days. It's almost as if a game is being played. They're going to say, right, today we're going for the head, tomorrow the chest, tomorrow the day after that the testicles.
Yeah,
and there's a very clear pattern.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody listening to this who isn't thinking of the kind of phrase target practice. That's what it sounds like, using human beings as target practice.
Absolutely, that's what it seems like, and there is a very striking pattern. Many people have identified this, and the stories I'm getting from the patients, from their families, and indeed from local Gazan healthcare workers who've been to these food distribution points to get food for their family. One of the anaesthetists has been out between operations to rush down to get food for his family. They are describing that these shootings, these direct targeting has been carried out by Israeli soldiers, snipers, and the quadcopter drones, which are shooting at them as well. So absolutely, target practice, it's like they're playing a game.
And Nick, apologies for my medical naivety, but how different then is your job of work treating patients who have been shot by snipers, by bullets, compared to the explosive injuries you were dealing with maybe in previous journeys?
So they're equally bad. They're just different patterns. You with a single bullet wound, each bullet will cause far more damage internally necessarily than a piece of shrapnel, but of course with shrapnel you may get multiple pieces. So I don't think you can say one is worse than the other.
Okay.
They just cause different types of injuries. But I mean, we had a 12-year-old boy die on the operating table 2 weeks ago from a bullet wound which had transected the aorta, the main artery in the body. So the injuries we're seeing, I've seen some appalling gunshot wounds involving the duodenum and the pancreas, the bile duct, which are notoriously difficult injuries to treat surgically. And there's a very high mortality rate from these injuries.
Is the mortality rate then, does that increase as a result of malnutrition?
Absolutely correct. And that's the other sort of devastating narrative from this trip. I called this out when I was here twice last year about the malnutrition, but it's much, much worse. So they're coming in malnourished. I mean, these people are, you know, the expression skin and bones really doesn't do it justice. They are profoundly malnourished. They're starving. And they are much more prone. When you're as malnourished as that, your immune system is suppressed. Your tissues don't heal. So all these internal repairs, the repairs we're doing to the duodenum, to the bowel, to the pancreas, to the liver, they're often falling to pieces because their tissues aren't healing. That then causes terrible infections and a much higher risk of dying. But many of these young teenage boys are dying of injuries they would otherwise be very likely to survive.
And then, I mean, if you and your colleagues manage to deal with those acute injuries as they present, I'm just even conscious of the recovery. Again, my own experience of the hospital system is as a patient, but I know that, you know, people are given this kind of high energy and high protein and high calorific food often by way of recovery to get the energy systems back up. If there's not even food, full stop.
You're absolutely right. When you're trying to recover from any form of surgery, let alone traumatic injuries like this requiring surgery, your need for nutrition goes sky high. Your metabolic demand escalates enormously, so they need much more food than you would normally want to give them, and we can't give them anything. We have we've run out of virtual forms of nutritional support. And of course, I've seen that on the pediatric units, on the pediatric intensive care unit, the neonatal intensive care unit. You know, since I've been here, there have been four newborn babies have died entirely of malnutrition because they were premature. Their mothers couldn't breastfeed at all because they were so malnourished. There was no proper feed to give these newborn babies. The formula feeds they require. The hospital has virtually run out of them. There's been nothing delivered since the ceasefire. Some American medical colleagues of mine came in specifically with formula feeds in their bags for these babies, and they were all confiscated at the border by the Israeli border guard, very specifically confiscating the formula feeds. They weren't confiscating other things, just the formula feeds. I mean, it's again, the word barbaric comes to mind, but they are deliberately stopping these nutritional supplements, these formula feeds, from getting into the hospital. Babies are dying.
And what about other resources then in the hospital, Nick, that you and your colleagues need to do your job? I assume they are running low, if non-existent in some cases.
Very low indeed. So the amount of drugs that are available are very limited. A lot of my anaesthetic colleagues tell me they're giving much reduced dosages of anaesthetic drugs because they're running out. Antibiotics are in very scarce supply. Pain relief is in very scarce supply. Gauze swabs, sterile drapes, all these things are in very short supply. The surgical instruments we use are very limited indeed, and many of them don't work properly. So if we're doing some complicated surgery, it's very, very challenging. I had to operate on an 11-year-old girl the other night with a very bad esophageal injury from a bomb. Which is difficult surgery at the best of times, but using instruments that were not functioning properly made it extremely challenging surgery. So yeah, it's all a challenge.
I mean, I'm confident, Nick, that I fail to understand the kind of the entire history and complexity of this conflict, but I'm equally confident that nothing in it would justify stopping baby formula from feeding starving children.
Yeah, you're right. And of course, it's people often say it's complicated. I mean, what we're seeing now is not complicated. It's very straightforward. There is, you know, these children, these innocent civilians are being murdered. There is genocide being carried out. I am witnessing multiple war crimes every single day. It's not complicated. It's actually very straightforward what we're seeing. And our governments are allowing it to happen.
How, and I've asked this question of you before, and I've asked it of other people working there, Nick, to know that I know none of you, and it's in your nature not to want to kind of talk about yourselves in the context of everything you've just talked about. But how do ye guys, and how do your colleagues as well, cope with this?
So, I mean, my Gazan friends, who some of whom I've known for years, many of whom I work with in previous visits since October the 7th, have been at this now for, what is it, nearly 21 months. They are mentally exhausted, physically exhausted. Some of them I haven't seen for the best part of a year. I hardly recognize some of them. Some of them lost 30 kilograms in weight. I mean, some of them are so malnourished. These are the doctors and the nurses. They are profoundly exhausted. I am in absolute awe of them. I think they are some of the most inspiring people I've ever met in my life. How they are coping with this day in, day out. I've been doing it for 4 weeks and I'm absolutely knackered. Excuse the language, but I'm shattered. And yet I've only done it for 4 weeks. And they have been doing it day in, day out for getting on for 2 years. So they are profoundly inspirational.
Nick, listen, thanks a million for speaking to us and stay safe.
All right. Thanks ever so much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.